Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me again today. So this is a skill that actually I don't think I learned until I had children. And then having to, I'd never understood being organized and not being organized, and I didn't really get it as a point until because I think being an Indian child, I think we just came from this deeply disciplined, organized friggin' house. My mother was a control freak, so, you know, yay. And then I ended up with a very ill child. And the only way to cope with him when he woke up, wherever he happened to be, was to be functioning, fully understanding what I was doing with my eyes fast asleep. And that was what led to me being organized. But actually being organized and not being cluttered are two different things, which is very sad. But we're going to have a conversation about that. And when I asked Sarah, I said, why did you start today's guest? I asked her, why did you start doing what you did? And she said, because when I was a teacher, the successful children were the children that were organized in what they were doing more than the super intelligent ones. And I loved that story. I love that example. So Sarah Valeri, welcome. And thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, such a pleasure. So organization and clutter are different, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's the reason I named my business Hello Clutter, because right. Organizing, you can have organized bins full of stuff, and that's great, but it's probably just full of stuff and full of clutter. So there's a difference between being able to let go of the things that you have that is just excess that's causing you stress, and then a difference in being able to set it up and beautifully and functionally, where you'll be able to find the things when you actually need it.
Yeah, you said that there was a place where you took to minimalism. Like, I think of minimalism, like when I look at my kids, I think of minimalism as being that place where there it's all white and there's like one thing left somewhere. And I'm like, being a, you know, Indian, I want something to be blue. I mean, look at my background, right? So I look at minimalism like that and I think, okay, I just need to shoot myself in the head. But is that what it means?
It isn't. And minimalism is different for everyone. So for some people, it might mean that of white walls and very few things around. And that's okay. But I think a lot of us get that picture and it makes us feel like it's like an insane asylum of like, there's nothing like personality wise.
Yeah.
But really minimalism is just having the things that add value to your life and that you need. And so to me, it's more of a state of contentment of being okay with the things that I have and having it set up where I actually use those things and it's not excess. I don't have an abundance. I just have exactly what I need. And that to me is what minimalism looks like.
I like that. So for me, for example, I'm not a big shopper. I really don't enjoy, like I have friends who like, I'm going shopping and I'm like, why would you do that? Literally cannot bear that thought. But what I do is that I then don't throw things away. So I came out of lockdown and I thought, I haven't worn 99.5% of anything that I have. So I don't want to buy more things because I feel like I should get rid of the other stuff before I buy new things. And then I think, oh, I really like that. Oh, I really like that. Oh, I really like that. So what are the rules for freeing cluttering, decluttering?
There are so many rules. And I love talking about rules.
Yeah, look at you. That's hysterical. You're super excited about this.
I know. I'm one on the Enneagram through and through. I just give me a rule and I will follow it. But there are so many different things that you can set up and figure out. And I really like that you said, I like this and not I love this. Because I think our society, especially here in America, we have a tendency to really form like this emotional attachment to our stuff. And I think it's very toxic and we don't think about that. Like if I told you I love this shirt and like I actually felt love and warm fuzzy feelings towards it, like I was in love with it, that would be a concern, right? You would be sending me to the minimalist insane.
I agree. It's like when people say my business is my baby. I'm like, I have babies. Why would my business be my baby? You know?
It's different. So I like that you said you like it, because it's okay to feel joy when you have things, and it's okay to experience that emotion, but we never want to be in love with our stuff. That's where we've stepped over this extra boundary. But whenever you're looking through like clothes, for instance, it's all about what serves you and what serves the body that you're currently in. And I know in lockdown, a lot of us experienced weight fluctuation because it was a new time. We were feeling really stressed. As women, our bodies fluctuate. We have babies.
Oh my God, I talk about, yeah, you're pregnant.
I am. So I'm feeling that too right now of like being able, what clothes serve my body and serve the purpose of what I'm currently experiencing in life, and not forcing myself to fit into something because it was expensive or because someone gave it to me. You know, it's all about doing the things that are going to bring us that joy. I don't think the purpose in life is necessarily to find happiness, but I do think that we should have a positive outlook on the life that we live, and that putting the first decision you make every morning, what clothes you're going to wear, what person you want to be, how you want to show yourself to the world, I think that's a big question to ask. So we should do it in clothes that make us feel confident and make us feel good about who we are.
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's really important. But I got stuck on the fact that you said our job is not to be happy. And I thought being American, it was in your constitution. So I was like, okay, that completely discombobulated me. But I talk a lot about women. My client base is women who are 40, 45 and above, right? And I talk a lot about perimenopause. And I'm always saying to people, the way that you manage perimenopause is by understanding, it's like moving into a new house. Your furniture can still be the same in the new place, but it doesn't fit in the same way. So you've got to kind of see how it fits and all this kind of stuff. And that's how you do it. And so as a woman, when I'm going through big, massive upheavals in my private life, how does that work with decluttering? Because I would imagine throwing away a whole bunch of shit when I'm really scared and nervous that I would be quite difficult.
Yeah, I think we go through a lot of a different emotions, and we all feel different things whenever we're decluttering. I kind of view decluttering
as it is emotional, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, you are not alone. That is so normal. And that's why I think a lot of people put it off and end up hiring someone like myself, because
you have no emotional attachment. You're like, yeah, just throw it.
Yep. Objective third party member who can just think of it as, you know, it's black and white to me. It's a thing that either you keep or you don't keep. And it doesn't change, you know, my outlook on life. But
and how do you make that decision when you're decluttering for someone, the thing keep and don't keep?
Yeah, thankfully. So I don't make that decision, but I'm there to help act as a guide for my client. I'm asking them questions. I'm asking them, when was the last time you used this? Why do you have it? Did someone give it to you? Like trying to dig down as to why they have this grip on the thing and they don't want to let it go.
Well, it's because one day it's going to look really good.
And it could, but also we're not here for one day. If we held on to everything because one day it might be useful or one day someone might get value out of it, you're going to be surrounded by stuff and you're going to be so overwhelmed, because not only do you have all the stuff, but then you have to try to remember by the time it comes around that you might need it. Will you even remember you have it, or will you remember where it is? Like once things get truly that chaotic, I think it's not worth it to hold on to at that point.
No, I agree. And I really dislike, I have to say, one of the things that's really served me is that we live in rental houses, because we didn't want to buy, because we have, in my blended family, the five children. And so as they got bigger, we needed more space, because you had like 6 foot downwards. And then now as they get older, like nobody wants to come home. So we just need to move to smaller houses. And we've literally downsized 3 times in the last 5-6 years as people go off to university, which is a really interesting thing. And one of the things that I've done with that is I have been absolutely brutal about throwing stuff away. I'm like, if I can't haven't opened that box in the last, I throw it. The only thing I haven't done that with is I thought I should keep like wedding photos and stuff for the kids, because they might be interested. But otherwise, I'm throwing shit with abandon, except with clothing. I struggle with that.
Yeah. And it's hard to be that cutthroat because we do, we start to form that emotional attachment over things. And then we use that. We say, oh, well, maybe my kids will want that someday.
Oh, but my really, children hate all my clothes.
And by saying, oh, maybe my kids will want it, it's just giving us permission to hold on to it because we're not ready to let go yet. And then we're putting that responsibility on a future generation to figure out when they're already going to have their own stuff that they need to work through. So it's a bad cycle. We have to be really careful not to fall into of like, oh, someone else can just, it can be their problem.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. My children are vociferous about how they like fashion and none of mine is included, including the fact that I have a lot of clothes from when I was like in my 20s. And so, cause I kind of stayed the same shape. And I'm like, and then I look around and I'm like, whoa, I wore that? Oh, no, no. And my kids are like, we would never show off that much skin. I was like, right? Oops. So we're going to come back in a second.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What are the emotions that people generally feel in decluttering? Because even to book you, there must be a lot of emotion going on.
I think shame is the big one, because I think when you first have someone come over to your house, so you're thinking about inviting someone over, our first like instinct most of the time is to hide the mess. We don't want them to know. It's like, we want to act like we don't even live in our homes. We want to put all the mess away. So all that they see is like the perfection that social media has provided us. But we end up like shoving things into closets and just getting rid of all this extra stuff. And because we feel ashamed, that sometimes that there is mess, but life is messy. And that's how we learn a lot of the times, is by making a mess. So it's okay. It means our homes are lived in. But I think that's...
So are you saying people would push a whole bunch of stuff into a cupboard and you don't see it again?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. So I win. I'm not that bad.
Yeah. And everybody has a different level. Even when I get the question a lot of, do I work with hoarders? But there are 5 different levels of hoarding. So there's the hoarders of like the TV show hoarders that you might have seen before.
Yes, the terrifying one where you can't walk around the house.
Yes. So that's like a stage 5. But even just a stage 1 hoarder is considered someone who has a light amount of clutter and there's no odor available in the house that you smell right away. So like, I fall into that category sometimes.
I was like, I think that might be me.
Yeah, we all have clutter at some point. Most of us do, because once again, we live in this world where we like to consume, we take in a lot of things. But I think that a lot of the time that's where stuff just gets shoved. We just turn a blind eye to it. We shut the door on the messy room and we don't look back. So I think that that's where it's really sad that there's a lot of shame built up about it. So I try to help educate people that it's okay, whatever you're feeling, but also it doesn't have to be that way. Our homes are meant to be a place of rest, not a place of stress.
Right, exactly. A place to be comfortable, joyful. Tell me what makes people come to that place where they decide, okay, that's it.
I think sometimes we hit like a clutter threshold is what I call it. Like the amount of clutter that you have around you where all of a sudden you just freak out and you want to rage donate everything and you want to throw all the shit away, like you were saying before. I think sometimes we hit that point. I have a lot of people who reach out who are in a life transition where their kids have moved out, divorce has happened.
Yeah, divorce is a lot.
Yeah, so I think sometimes it can be a life event, or sometimes we just hit that, I'm done. Or people read a book or watch a TV show and they're like, I can do that. I just need a little bit of help.
Oh, okay, that's so interesting. And is it usually women rather than men, or is it equally?
My target market is women, because I relate to them the most. I am a woman myself. I have helped a few men here and there, but I think it's just a different attachment. It's a different feeling. So I know that some organizers gear towards that. Everybody kind of has their own people who they try to find and who they think they can serve.
I wonder, okay, so I actually have a question about how you got educated in this, but I have a little side note. Mm-hmm. Sidebar? What's that thing when you're like, yeah, sidebar. Because I remember I trained as a lawyer and I worked as a lawyer. And everywhere I went, somebody would go, oh, I have this problem. I wonder if you could help. And I'd be like, I'm not that kind of lawyer. And I wonder, do people do that to you when you say, what do you do? People are like, oh, you know, I mean, do like also because I'm in health. So people would be embarrassed to ask me out for lunch because it would be like, oh, she's going to eat really healthy and she'll judge what I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And I'd be the one ordering the chocolate. So people must be really scared having you over.
Oh, people are always like, don't judge. I'm not.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm never, even with my clients, I'm not, my job is not to judge. I'm there to, you know, when I'm with a client, I'm there to assess the situation and figure out how can we make this better. But when I'm just with my friends or anything, I'm not like peeking into your closets to see what's going on in there. I'm just, you know, I'm there to be someone in your home. And that's where I try to help people see, like, I'm not judging. So there is no need for shame. But I also, you know, I try to teach this and I still struggle with it myself sometimes. Like, I don't want people to come over when it's messy. Like, I can turn the camera around. This is going to be our nursery. So it's messy in here right now. There's a lot going on because we're accumulating things and figuring out what we need for baby. And I'm like, don't look. But I'm in a life transition. I'm figuring it out. So it's a lot of also changing my own mindset of how I feel in my space.
So is there a place where, I like that you said there were five different kinds of hoarders. Are there different types of clutter?
I think so. I think clutter shows its way up, it shows its way into our lives in different ways. So like clutter can show up as mental fog. It can show up as depression. It can show up as like an argument between you and your spouse because you guys are fighting over the same things over and over again. It causes that tension. So I think there are different like forms in terms of, yes, like we have too many clothes or too many, you know, expired food items or whatever that might be. But I think it just shows up and we experience it in different ways, which is why we have those different clutter thresholds of what we all can stand to be around us.
So you're basically saying there's like physical and emotional clutter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And then I think that we get used to living in a particular way until something happens and you're like, yeah, I can't take this anymore. Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. So how do you get educated into an uncluttery person? How does that happen?
I love that. Uncluttery person. There are a lot of different courses that you can take. There's NAPA, which is the National Association for Professional Organizers.
Oh my God, there's a national organization. No, I love that.
There are so many. And like,
I'm just going to type professional organizer into Google and see what comes up.
Yeah, you'll probably find a lot. And there's people who do their own courses. I myself have coached a few other women who wanted to be organizers and kind of help them kickstart their business. But what I did myself, I chose to forego like the formal education piece because it's not a very standardized space.
No, you went to get experience.
Not everybody's reaching out and saying, do you have this, you know, certification, because it means something, you know, you went through courses and stuff, but it's not like I have to have that to own my business.
Yeah.
I read all the books I could get my hands on, all the podcasts. I continue to do so, reached out to other people who were local or, you know, just I found on Instagram who had their own business and kind of figured it out from there. But I think a lot of it just comes down to, it's something I really enjoyed. I love helping people declutter. My second date with my husband at the time, I found out he just moved here to the area and he was living in boxes. And I was like, can I come help you unpack and organize it all in your apartment? Like, it's just something I enjoyed doing. And I think that's a big thing, is it has to be a passion.
Everyone needs to have a friend like you.
Yeah, I'd love to help. If anyone moves, I'll come unpack everything, make it functional. It's great.
Yeah, I had a, I really hate it. I've always been a single parent. So I had this housekeeper who used to work for me and help with the kids and everything. And she was just insane. You would move house and she would be like, okay, just, I'm not going to do as much for the next, by the end of 6 days, 7 days, I mean like big houses, right? Because five children, she would have it all unpacked. Like unpacked, she loved that stuff. And I was just like, someone please shoot me because this is not something I'm ever going to do. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and I want some cluttery stories and uncluttery stories because I bet there are some.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. Cluttery stories. There must be some.
Yeah. And I won't.
And ones that you can talk about, because there are some that you can't. Like I'm always lamenting the fact that as a coach, and I coach a lot of women, and some of them are famous and some of them aren't, there's so much gossip and you can't talk about any of it because it's just not done. But is there anything that's sort of, you know?
Yeah, I think more like my heart goes towards like the stories that have always like kind of pulled on my heartstrings and like
yeah,
emotional. And I think a big one, we kind of already touched about it, is like I've had a few clients, but one in particular where her father had passed away. And I think it had been 3 years he had passed by the time she reached out. And she had a third floor of her house, so three stories, and the third floor was filled with boxes full of his things. So all of her siblings, she had been the one who ended up with it.
Yeah.
And like, that just makes me think of that generational clutter and like that, you know, the thing of we keep all these things hoping that it will bless our children one day, but it just becomes a burden. So I think I kind of keep that in my mind when I'm thinking about, you know, my husband and I starting a family, and when I work with other people, you know, we're put on this earth, you know, not to gain stuff. We can't take a U-Haul to heaven with us at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, so more stuff is not at all the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to bring happiness. It's not going to bring your children happiness. You know, it's just, it's time to let go. And that's why I really appreciate when people reach out, you know, when they are in that kind of life transition and they start to realize that. I think that's something I really relate to. And I just appreciate so much when someone's willing to open their doors to let me in and see that and see the chaos and not hide it.
Yeah. And you learn a lot about people as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All the stories. And I used to, you know, I used to get really like nervous. I'd come across things, the unmentionables and the toys and all the things that I would be like, oh, this is uncomfortable. But I've got, you know. And now I've seen it all and people are like really nervous. They're like, ooh, don't open that drawer. And I'm like, it's okay. Whatever's in it, I'm going to be fine. And we're going to make it through. But it is funny to see what people collect because we all just have different little quirks. And yeah, we hold on to some weird things.
Well, and also I think that when you, when you've had difficult childhoods or like immigrants, I'm an immigrant. I came out here when I was 15. And one of the things that I've realized when I look about myself, that I'm really good at throwing things away. And I keep really small things because those are the things that make me think of home or make me feel more centered or, you know, basic. And then the rest of the time, I'm like, yeah, no, you literally empty that whole bed. I'll never miss it. I don't even care what's in there. Just throw it all away type thing. Yeah. So you have a different kind of an approach to it, because if you came with nothing, it's okay to have nothing, but not to leave with nothing, because the emotive things are the things that you keep.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people have the opposite reaction to what you have, of where people don't have much. So then they're terrified once they do have something that it's going to go somewhere or that they're going to lose it. So they hold on even tighter and they hoard and they get more and more. So I think there's those two differences, and it can be a fine line to walk. And I try to help people kind of see, like, it's okay to let go of some things, but I can appreciate that.
How do you help people make a decision on what to throw?
A lot of the times it's just, well, are you using it? Is it just in the way? Like, if you're feeling overwhelmed in your space, or you're feeling like you're constantly tidying, you're constantly organizing, you're constantly decluttering, you have too much stuff. So it's a lot of accountability of, like, why am I here? Because sometimes people are saying, I want to keep that, I want to keep that, I want to keep that. And at some point I'm like, we're not getting rid of anything. Like, you're going to, I'm going to leave here after today, and you're going to be just as stressed and just as overwhelmed as when I first came. Like, how is that serving you well? So a lot of times it's just being that accountability partner and that mirror, and saying the things out loud that are really, really hard to hear sometimes.
I love that. I was going to say, but you're so nice. How do you do that? But then that's how you do that, right? Because you're kind of like, yeah, no more Mr. Nice Guy when it comes to this.
And, like, you told me your goals, you told me why I'm here, you know, I'm going to do it in as friendly of a way as I possibly can, you know, cause I'm not there to be the enemy, but also I would not feel in good conscience, like, taking your money and providing you a service where I actually didn't provide anything because you wanted to hold on so much. But so, that's why, go ahead.
No, carry on.
That's why I have, you know, I start off with a consultation with all of my clients. So we meet over Zoom. We kind of have a chance to meet each other, get to know our personalities. I ask those questions, you know, because sometimes people will be honest and say, I really struggle to get rid of things. So then I kind of know going into a session how hard I need to be and, like, what lines we need to draw. But that's also, like, once I get to know someone and we get to form a relationship, because I'm going through their stuff, it's very personal. So I get to know them on a deeper level. And then I learn how much I can push them, you know, within reason, because my goal is not to tell you have to donate this. It's getting them to realize, okay, I'm ready to let this thing go. But I'm not there to be a crazy dictator and say, out with everything that's in this room. You know, I let them make those decisions.
I remember one of the hardest things that I ever did is I read a lot and I speed read. And so I would just buy books and books and books and books. And then I moved to Kindle with the biggest relief you've ever heard in the entire world. But then it was giving away those boxes of books from a whole library. Mm-hmm. I remember that really hurt. Because those are my friends, those are my companions, those are my dreams and my ideas. And I've forgotten that till we were talking, because that was one thing that I look at clothes and there's some things I've given away and I'm like, I should never have given that suit away. I just loved it. And then I look at other stuff and things and I'm like, meh, don't care, you know, like, because we moved from a super big house to a smaller house and I had like 5 chandeliers. I'm like, who the hell needs 5 chandeliers? Literally, well, because the way we live here, right? I didn't have light fittings, these old houses. I've got one chandelier right here, in fact. And I was like, okay, now we only need 2 chandeliers. And it's like, what do you do with 3 extra friggin' chandeliers? It's not really something you can drop off. And then we did actually drop it off at the thrift store. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's crazy. People will take almost anything. There's so many options.
Isn't that right? It really is. I struggle a little bit with the whole buying secondhand shoes thing. I don't quite understand that, but yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's amazing. So how do you, just before we have a few minutes left, what do we do with virtual decluttering? How do you do that? What did you do in the pandemic?
Yeah. So it's a lot of coaching. You can kind of think of it as clutter coaching. Yeah. So I have
you can see, can't you? The clutter coach.
I have like a booklet that I send my clients once they've, you know, purchased virtual sessions with me. And a lot of it is digging into your why, because your why is what keeps you going when you're sitting in a pile of your clothes and you like want to cry because it's overwhelming and you're freaking out about letting things go. So So a lot of it digs in deeper about the underlying beliefs we have about ourselves and about the things that we have, the lies that we tell ourselves, that our stuff is what is bringing us that happiness or is what's fulfilling us. And then it also can dive in. It kind of depends on what my clients need, but a lot of issues that I hear about are like with spouses of, you know, my husband doesn't care about like the state of our home and, you know, they have some conflict there. So just how to like walk through those scenarios. And then I also do like I'll assign homework. So let's say they have a nursery that they're trying to declutter and get set up before a baby comes. I give them homework assignments since I'm not actually there to tell them, you know, this is what you're going to do for the next 5 hours or however long. I tell them what to go through and then we meet back together. I still can do like the organizing piece of my business of like setting it up with the pretty bins and making it look nice and making it functional. So I can still create product lists for them to purchase and teach them how to set it up. This is how you use the thing just so they have things that are functional. Cause a lot of us will, well here in America, at least, I don't know, we like to go to Target and we like to scroll down and we just grab whatever bins we see that we think are cute. And usually they're not going to fit in this space. It's not going to be functional for what you actually need. So I help push people towards the product that will actually help them and save them time and frustration over the long haul.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah. How do people get hold of you?
I'm on Instagram. I have a website, Facebook. Everything is Hello Clutter. So you can find me there.
I like that. That's a really nice name. Hello Clutter. Is it hello.clutter? Oh, no. Hello Clutter. Yeah. Instagram is hello.clutter.
Yep.
Facebook is Hello Clutter.
Yeah. So I'll say hello to your clutter so you can say goodbye to it.
I like that. That's so cool. Phenomenal. Well, and the baby is due
January.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the amount of stuff you're going to have in your life. My God.
Yeah. Learning how to keep it as minimal as possible, but also to make sure I know the biggest thing that a baby needs is love and everything else will come after that.
I wish you the very best of luck with all of that, including when they turn into toddlers and you want to murder them. And then they turn into teenagers and you think, why didn't I murder them? And then they come out of that and you think, oh, that's why I didn't murder them. I actually quite like them now.
They're all right.
Ish. Thank you, Sarah. This is Sarah Valeri and she's at Hello Clutter. I really appreciate having you on. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. This is Activate Yourself. I hope that you found something interesting and inspiring in that. It was interesting and inspiring. I feel this deep urge to go and like upend my wardrobe onto the floor and kind of, you know, like throw shit away. So I don't know if you guys are all feeling that. Well, but if you do, you can go find her and ask for her help. So thank you very much. And I'll be with you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.